Is there
Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for the life and health and strength you've given us. Please put your good hand upon us, upon your children everywhere, Father, that we can spend this time in your presence, around your word, singing good songs, having good fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for getting Dr. Shang and Ling home safe and sound, even with a little hiccup and a bump. It's good to see them here this morning. My dad as well, Norman and Will, and of course Mrs. Bradfield. Please be with our absent brethren wherever they are. And Lord, I pray you please continue to work in people's hearts and minds. We love you and thank you. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to get my seeing eyeglasses on, so give me just a second. There we go. And we will begin with Mrs. Bradfield. Actually, you're done there. Just sit yourself at the keyboard. Number 2 in the wee black book. Number 2 in the little black book. It is called the Blessed Old Book.
Yeah.
If you're able, turn there and we'll remain seated as we sing this first of our hymns. Amen.
Amen. morning's reading is from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without simulation, abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly, affectionate one to another, with brotherly love, in honour preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be on the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Norman. Some very, very good verses there. That's well worth a read. As it says, those verses are not for everybody else. Those verses are for each one of us. Amen. Just want to remind everybody that we're on the little white prayer list. I actually can't think of anything to do with the colour white. It is much maligned. The other colours are much more preferred by most people in the world these days. But please make sure that you do take one and pray over all the people that are mentioned there. I know you've maybe just taken that out and had a look, but is there anything that we would need to add to our prayer list this morning? Norman, go ahead.
We have a friend, Paul Keith, his wife Deborah, has been diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, goodness.
Is that Paul Keith for the estate agent?
Yeah. Currently, Mr. Galvin listed.
You were saying.
And she went down to Ballykelly and.
On the kidneys?
They found two malignant growths on the kidneys.
Please pray for Deborah O'Keefe, if you would. Amen. That's one way of resetting your priorities, isn't it? Amen. Has anybody else got anything else they would like to add to our prayer list? We can always wait for another day. These are good for 2 weeks. We will be asking again on Wednesday evening. We normally don't ask on a Sunday evening. Is anything else? Anybody got anything else they would like to add? Okay. And how are we fixed for private prayer requests? Okay. Amen. Thank you very much. And has anybody got anything in particular they'd like to thank the Lord for and let us all hear about it?
That's probably the last.
And Dr. Shannon, safe return and prayers. Everything went fine until the day before yesterday evening when they had a little bit of a bump on their. There was a flight cancelled, but they got home and they got everything sorted out and everything worked out okay yesterday. Good. Glad to hear. Well, that's about that then. Please do continue to pray for Ed Bissett. He is still under the wing of the health service for treatment with bladder cancer. It's all so far so good, all cleared up, but I think they're still giving him, what is it, chemo for him. Is that all done?
ECG.
Virus.
Inoculation. Thank you. In his blood.
Yeah, they're doing something with him. He's still being treated, but so far, so good. Miss Steve this morning, John McGowan, he's working this morning. John McMahon, please pray for him. Mm-hmm. Frank, he's over in London, by all accounts, gallivanting. Can I share what Frank said? Whenever Dr. Shang and Frank had to stay overnight in London, I think, you contact Frank. And he said, I am out with my friends. I am not coming to visit you because I am out with my friends. Is that right? So Frank's doing okay. Keep praying for Frank. He's always good. He's always good to see him. And I'm sure he wasn't expecting to go and visit his mum and dad, but he's doing well and we're glad to hear. Please pray for Colin and his girlfriend, Kate, whom I think is over here at this particular time from Ukraine. But I don't know anything else because I haven't heard anything else. Continue to pray for Israel and Gaza. Continue to pray for the poor young people that are having to foot the bill in blood, literally sweat, tears and lives on the front lines in Ukraine and Russia. And you're allowed to pray against people, you do know that. The Lord said, for those people that hate Israel, there is a curse on them. And you need to pray for people who are heading down a wrong path to be stopped in their tracks by God. In the same way that people that love Israel are to be blessed, the Lord says he will bless them. Please do pray about everything. Everything. Can't think of anything else. Is there anything else? Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to call upon you, if you would, to lead us in a wee word of prayer, and then we will continue. Frank, you will.
Dear Father, thank this day. Thank you for bringing us here to trade at your house this morning, Lord. May you bless us. May our prayer supplications and our attendance to the word and to the songs, Lord, be accepted on your side, Lord. And well pleasing to you as well, Lord, as our prayer may be a sweet savour unto your throne room as well, Lord. Pray for all your children, our saved Lord, throughout the world, Lord, deliver from any trouble, bless them and draw them close work to and save souls mighty and powerfully today. Even as speak to those that are lost, and we went to Bible believing Christian churches, Lord, and we convict those that are lost and those that are backsliding, bring them back to you, Lord, save those that are lost as well, Lord. Use the tracks, not only from our church, but from and people speaking about Jesus Christ. Not only to the last word, you might convict them, Lord, and save them mightily and powerfully as well, Lord. We are for Israel at this time, save the Jews, Israeli Arabs, Israeli Muslims, and any other Israeli Christian, so-called Christians, Lord, save them, bring them to the true faith for Jesus Christ, our Lord, who died on the cross to save them from, came to save us from our sins, Lord, and their sins, if they profess their faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, Paul, wife, Lord, you might heal her mightily powerfully from bringing pain and discomfort, Lord, heal her mightily powerfully, and give her strength, Lord, and may touch it early, Lord, and heal her mightily powerfully as well, Lord, and may we give you the blessing as well, Lord. Deliver us from any trouble, may we be attentive and send your spirit for the service today and tonight, Lord, may we be attentive to thy word, may we say a blessing, Lord, and pray for absolute problem as well, Lord, bring back to church, Lord, as well, Lord. Deliver us from any trouble, pray for us from the gospel, Lord, and draw us our mind and our body and our soul, Lord, more to tune with thee, Lord, may we and give us a blessing for our honor, for our glory, for Jesus Christ's name.
One thing I did forget is that there is an LGBT parade on this Saturday at 2 p.m. This church is hosting a gospel outreach there at the railway station, and we will be there from 12:30 p.m. until the LGBT movement and activists disperse, at which point we will too. We would appreciate you there, or at the very least your prayers. And amen. Look forward to that as well. And a cup of tea and a bun back here at the church afterwards. Amen. All right. We are going to take our wee hymn books, if you would like to take and turn there. We're going to begin this part of the service again with number 10 in the wee black book. Number 10 is Thine Be the Glory. Another good old hymn. Let's make a joyful noise. Amen. right now, but the Lord is coming back and he is going to be taking the victory. But in the meantime, 137 in the big book, we're going to sing one called In Times Like These. 137, if you're able, stand with me as we sing In Times Like These. 137. And we are reading in chapter 23, and we are going to begin reading at verse number 1. Got about 30 verses I would like to read with you this morning, and I would like to bring you a few thoughts on the subject of how exactly. We're reading from verses 1 to 33, and we're going to be sharing a few thoughts on the subject of how exactly. Matthew chapter 23. Now in my Bible, all of these words are in red, except for the very first verse, which means that these are the quoted words of Jesus Christ. So worth paying attention to. Then spake Jesus to to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass land and sea to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold, or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift, or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it, and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it, and by him that dwelleth therein, in other words, God. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, ye hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Verse number 33 is going to be our text. I thought a read through that would give you an idea of the people that the gospel has been dealing with ever since and before the days that the Lord walked on the face of the earth. And we're taking the last one as our text. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Well, have a wee prayer and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray you, Lord, for your good hand upon us as we spend this time around it. And Lord, please, please be one of our number. And don't be finished with us, Lord. Please continue to help us. Thank you for your many helps and blessings. Most importantly, for your Son, Christ Jesus. For your work, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and for being a loving Father that just loves us. Please, Lord, I pray, bless our time in your house. And Lord, wherever folks are gathered together, bless the hearers and the preachers of your word. We ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, and according to your will. Amen. 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 I don't know about you, but I was starting to feel a little bit bad for the scribes and the Pharisees, because it sounded like the Lord had his finger out the whole time, and he was pointing it at them, and he was wagging his finger at them. And these men that were supposed to be the bastion of faith for the whole nation of Israel certainly had a lot to be said to them. The Lord quite literally confronting the teachings and the actions of the scribes and the Pharisees, and showing them over and over again just how hypocritical they are. And if you were to look at the number of chapters, I think there's like four chapters left. Yep, there's four chapters left in the book of Matthew. And I would even go so far as to say that when the Lord publicly shamed all of these false teachers, these men that were doing nothing but taking the praise and the glory and the money of men that should have been put towards the church and the spreading of the gospel, and they were putting it in their back pockets, this was the final straw that broke the camel's back, and they didn't think twice about wheeling and dealing and scheming to have the Lord put to death. For all of the things that they say, the Lord was showing the people, these men are hypocrites. What they are telling you to do, yes, do it. But don't do what they do. They are not following the teachings of God. So he asks them at the very end, and you know who he's talking to? He's talking to the vipers. The generation of the serpents and the generation of vipers. He's talking to men that have set themselves at enmity with God. And he's saying to them, this is you. Have you ever heard of someone getting read their pedigree? In other words, you're told all the things that you've done wrong and how sorry a character you are. Jesus has just read them their pedigree and then says, with all of the things that you are teaching, how are you going to escape hell? How are you going to escape damnation, the lake of fire? And it's one of those rhetorical questions, because following rules and laws and commandments never saves. Gathering a pile of money and power and influence never saves. A lot of people think that I've done some good deeds. I've helped little old ladies and little old men across the road. Therefore, God owes me something. And God's going to look at my good deeds. And he's going to look at my bad deeds. And he's going to see which one's heavier. He's going to weigh one against the other. And he's going to let me into heaven. Now, for a lost man, two of those statements are absolutely true. For a man that is not trusting Jesus as Savior, God will look at your good deeds. And God will look at your bad deeds. But your good deeds will never outweigh your bad deeds. Because even your thoughts and words are brought into judgment by God. The Bible says we will give account of every idle word. And in Matthew chapter 5, as the Lord was speaking to the crowds, he said, "You've heard that it was said of old time that thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause." Where do you get angry? You don't get angry with your hands, you get angry in your head. It's our thoughts, it's our words, and it's our deeds. And so whenever Jesus asks this question, it's not a question that he is going to give the answer to, even though he did. It's a question that is posed to get people thinking. Because when people stop thinking, that's when you have problems. But when you can get people thinking for themselves with a good set of information, then you'll get solutions. And the solution to all of this is not doing what the Pharisees and the scribes say, and it's not being like the scribes and the Pharisees. As we know from reading the New Testament and even reading the Old, the solution to the question of how shall we escape so great a damnation of hell is to put our faith in God. Even in the Old Testament, David, who was writing the Psalms, said, "Blessed is the man to whom God imputeth righteousness without works." In other words, when you trust God to save your soul, you are blessed. You are going to heaven. And that's it. Probably one of the greatest verses actually just says that, and it's in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 3. And it says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing witness with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will." In other words, the God that has proved himself by many infallible truths and proofs, he is the only one that can save us. And that's it. You know, a lot of people are not asking the right question. A lot of people are not asking how we can be saved from hell and the lake of fire. A lot of people are asking, how can we be saved from the war in Ukraine? Or how can we be saved from the war in Gaza? Or how can we be saved from the conflict between North and South Korea, or indeed between the Protestant and the Catholic, the black and the white, the Christian and the Muslim? How can we be saved? And don't actually understand that those are only symptoms of a civilization that has rejected God. Instead, they should be asking, how can we be saved from an eternity in hell in the lake of fire? Even in the book of Philippians, Paul, in his letter to the church of Philippi, said, "Wherefore, my beloved," and he was talking to Christian people, he was talking to lost people, "work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Make sure you put your faith in God, and make sure that it works. Make sure that it will save your soul. It's not the product of the years of your life that you have lived and the occasional good deed that will save your soul. Your life is the result of your standing with God. In other words, your life will reflect that you're going to heaven or your life will reflect you're going to hell. What we need to do, honestly, is engage the real intelligence that we have up in here and say, "Now hold on a wee second. Am I a good person? In the eyes of God, am I a good person? Am I a saved person? Do I have any regard for my brothers and sisters? Do I want what's best for them? Do I want even for people whose necks you could just wring? Do I want them saved? Would I love for them to be saved? Do I want to go to church? Do I want to read the Bible? Do I feel the need to talk to God, and do I miss it when I don't? Or do I like drinking and smoking and gambling and carousing, and as the Bible says, I think it's in, is it in Proverbs, it talks about people that can't even go to their beds until they've done some mischief or caused some bother. And there are people like that. I am sure we have bumped into them and rubbed shoulders with them maybe far too many times, more times than we would like. What sort of people are we? We should be smart enough. Goodness, we live in an enlightened enough world where we can compare ourselves against what's going on. Unfortunately, I've had the occasion to do that a few times in the last 20, 30 years. And to the best of my knowledge and understanding, whilst I may have not been 100% perfect, I have never been wrong. And those that have disagreed with me, with the Word of God, have not gone on to be better people. We have a definitive answer to that question. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? But where is it? Let's talk about God and secular things. Now, all of these things are good in their own right, useful in their own right, but they won't save your soul. If God realized, and probably one of the ones that's most pertinent to us or most in the public eye at the moment, is politics. If God, who created the universe and called us up out of the dust of the earth and made us living souls, knew that politics would save us, what would he have done? He would have sent us a politician. Isn't that right? He would have sent us a politician. If God knew that money would save us, what would he have done? He would have sent us a banker. If God knew that it was a matter of taking the right medicine that would save us, save our souls, he would have sent us a doctor or a surgeon. If he knew that shooting the right person would save us, what would he have done? He would have sent us a soldier, a sniper, or a general to order. If he knew that acquiring property would save us, he would have sent us an estate agent. If he knew that food would save us, he would have sent us a farmer. If he knew that gadgets would save us, he would have sent a tech guy, a computer guy, or an inventor. And if he knew that a set of rules and instructions would save us, he would have sent us a minister. That one maybe hits a bit closer to home. But I can guarantee you that 90% of the ministers in this country are not even saved. I have spoken to many of them, and I honestly wouldn't trust them to look after my cat for a day and I was on holiday. And my cat can look after itself for a day. But what about the religions then? If we were trusting in the Jehovah's Witness or the Seventh-day Adventists, they didn't even have a Messiah. God didn't give himself for us on the cross. An angel did. If you were a Mormon or a Church of the Latter-day Saints, you would be trusting in the half-brother of the devil. Because that's, according to the Mormons, that's who Jesus is, the half-brother of the devil. And most of the other churches, the Catholic Church in particular, you're expected to do the best you can. You're expected to save yourself. And with the Protestant Church, there's not much of a difference. And some of them, they will say, well, it's not up to me. But it is up to you. Because if it wasn't up to you, everyone would go to heaven. But it's up to you and me to choose whether we go to heaven and trusting in God or whether we go to hell trusting in somebody else. If it was up to the Muslim faith, well, you'd be worshipping the moon god, Allah. And he can't even save himself. Look at the mess that he makes even of the countries that worship him. And the Hindus, unfortunately, they mention many gods, including God man. There is so much false religion, so many lies, just like the scribes and the Pharisees who would tell people a yarn to get them in church, to take their money, and tell them they were good guys whenever they met them in the marketplace. Oh, Rabbi, Rabbi, you're wonderful. Thank you for saying a few words over my child, or preaching that wonderful sermon at the funeral service of a loved one. I never knew they were that good, but you got them into heaven with that service. That's not the way it works. God said over and over again, I love you people. I love you with a love greater than a husband has for his wife, or a wife for her children, or parents for their children, or children for their parents, or for a bosom buddy. I love you with a love that makes those look like pale shadows. I love you so much that I gave my son to die for you on the cross of Calvary. That's how much I love you. And if you will just turn away from your sins and turn to him, turn to me, I'll save you for free. He did all the work and he gives it away for the princely cost of your sins. Because there's only space in our hearts for one thing. It's either sin or it's God. And the two can't work together. And if you repent of your sins, it'll be like tearing a growth out of your chest. And in the space left by that growth, the Holy Spirit will take up residence. And be the friend that sticketh closer than a brother for the rest of your life in this world until you see God face to face. God wants everybody saved. It's just not everybody wants to be saved by God. It's not everybody wants to say and turn my back on my sin. Over and over he teaches us. I got a few verses here. There's one very famous verse in it, Acts 4 and 12, which you will remember whenever I read it, but a lot of times we forget a couple of verses before and a couple of verses after. And this is what Paul said. I think it was Paul. No. Mm-hmm. Yes, Luke in the book of Acts. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you here whole. In other words, someone was just set completely healed. This is the stone which was set of naught of you builders. In other words, oh, I don't need Jesus, I can do it myself. Which has become the head of the corner. This man, Christ Jesus, the Son of God, which so many people spit at, reject, laugh at, is the man that the Christian reveres and puts his faith in and trusts to save. Neither is there salvation in any other. That's it. Simplest of verses. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And then one other verse that is read many times, sadly, most times at funerals, in John 14. This is what Jesus claimed for himself. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Me, no man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's what Jesus said. And you know the thing about that verse? That means any religion that depends on a building or an institution or a group or a book or a set of works or another God are not getting to heaven. I'm going to tell you something, friends. It shows. It shows. It shows in how they treat people when they're in the majority. How did Britain and America treat all of those people that came into them over the last couple of hundred years? Come on in and join us. Be part of our community, our society. We're more than happy to have you here. How do Muslim nations treat people that come into their society? If you take that Bible out and carry it in public, you'll be executed. We will kill you if you say anything against what we believe. That's how other religions work, friends. There is no patience. There is no long suffering. There is no peace. There is no joy. There is only strife and murders, thefts, lies and fornications and adulteries. Outside of the God of the Bible, there is no escape from hell. The God of the King James Bible. You might think, well, those sound like some crazy statements. Those sound absolutely crazy. You sound like a narrow-minded bigot. Thank you very much. I am a narrow-minded person. But I'm not a bigot. I will tell the same story to kings and TV personalities, or the guy sitting supping on a bottle of Monday's wine by the bridge, or a minister. I will tell them the same story because it's the old, old story that was preached for 2,000 years. And some people maybe say, but you're bonkers. You're nuts. But as one guy said, at least I'm screwed on the right boat, and that boat is Christ. And people could say, you know, that is a crazy statement. And that could be someone's opinion. It is somebody's opinion. Except for one thing. All of the prophecies that we have spoken about in days, weeks, months, and years gone by, they keep happening. All of those mentioned in the Bible. We start with Israel. Israel is a nation again. 80 years ago, give or take, Israel became a nation. For nearly 2,000 years, it wasn't a nation, but it became a nation just 80 years ago. That was prophesied in the Bible, and people, nations, went above and beyond trying to make sure that it didn't happen, including our own and America. When Jesus comes back, every eye will see. How in the world would every eye see if Jesus came back to Israel? I don't know. Satellite network? Fiber optic network? Do we have any of those? Of course we do. What about if, you only have to read on the next chapter, if the Lord didn't come back, no flesh would be saved. How would we kill everybody? We've been able to do it for the last 40 to 50 years. The communications, giving images life, we're talking about artificial intelligence and computer generated images. We're talking about knowledge greatly increased from as far back as Daniel, and men travelling to and fro. If you'd been with me yesterday, I travelled to and fro. I travelled to Portadown and to Belfast Airport and then to Macrofell and then back to here and did it all in the space of 5 hours. That would have been unheard of in Daniel's day. 200 miles in 5 hours. How in the world? And yet all of these things are happening. and many more. We've got the creation. You mean to tell me God created everything in one week? You do. How in the world would he ever do that? That's crazy. How can you believe such a thing? Well, first of all, if you look around, there's so much out there that can't exist any other way. Grass, for instance, is a mystery. The termite, one of the humblest of little critters in this world, can't exist without a certain bacteria in its gut to digest wood. Cellulose. The bombardier beetle is worth reading up about. The moon leaving the earth. The magnetic field getting weaker and weaker, and some wag saying that all of a sudden the multi-trillion ton core of the earth is going to start spinning in a different direction and the magnetic field will reverse. How is that going to happen? But you know what? If it's just a 7,000-year-old planet that's waxing old like a garment, just like the Bible says, it's not so crazy after all. What about the promise of peace? Whenever you bear your soul to God, he delivers. What about the promise of assurance? Whenever he promises you that no matter how hard your life gets, Jesus keeps you in the palm of his hand, you will never lose your salvation. What about that? What about the words to speak just when you need them? He delivers from me all the time. What about the void that gets filled up in men's hearts by the Holy Spirit that literally grabs a hold of them and says, you ought to act differently? And they do. That presence of the Holy Spirit that turns harlots into housewives and whoremongers into good husbands, that turns rebellious children into diligent, loving children. And I suppose, finally, the difference that knowing and having all of those things for yourself makes to you when your life draws to a close. Because whenever it does, there is no other name under heaven whereby you will be comforted or made joyful than the name of Jesus Christ and having him as your Savior. Apart from Jesus Christ, there is no escape. From hell and damnation, there is no escape. But with Jesus Christ, there's 100% guarantee that when your life is over here, you will go to a home in heaven that has your name on it. Even now. That's how exactly you get to heaven. Simple, straightforward. It's a one-size-fits-all, free, forever, and sure salvation. And it's open to anybody that will repent of their sins and trust Christ as their Savior. Thank you for your good time. God bless each one of you. And appreciate your time and attention. We have, I think, one hymn left that was picked this morning. This one is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, number 13, another one of our old favourites. Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, it is number 13 in the little black book. If you're able, stand with me as we sing, and this will be our closing hymn. Unless someone has another one they want to sing.
Thank you.
one of you. Thank you again for your good time and attention. Thank you for the Bible reading as well. Romans 12 is well worth another look when you get home this afternoon, or in fact any day. We're very glad to have Ming and Dr. Shang back. It's nice to see them sitting there skins. I know they had a very busy day yesterday and they probably really want to go home and eat and go to bed again. Please continue to pray for them and each other, and with all that's going on, remember to keep your eyes on the Lord. Let's bow our heads and we'll be listening to the prayer. Lord, thank you, Lord, for this little bit of time that we can still have in your presence. Please bless it, Lord. Help us to put it to good use. And Lord, don't be done with any of us. Please use us as you see fit. And Lord, find us willing participants in the work of saving souls. We love you and thank you. Be with our brethren across the world, especially those who couldn't be here today. And Lord, we leave these things at your feet, along with our private prayer requests and petitions, and ask that you would grant them according to your will. Amen. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit. We are dismissed.